You are about to listen to a message delivered by Pete Scazzaro, Senior Pastor of New Life Fellowship and founder of the Center for Emotionally Healthy Spirituality in Elmhurst, Queens, New York. For more information or resources, visit our website at newlifefellowship.org or center4ehs.org.
Thank you. Matthew chapter 6. And we're on a series on the Lord's Prayer, learning to pray. And actually, this is the sixth part. And it begins by Jesus kind of gives a context in the Sermon on the Mount. He's contrasting the way they prayed in that day. Chapter 6, verse 5. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men." Verse 6. "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." In verse 7, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray." And He provides a model, a framework for prayer. And it's not that the words are magic, but He provides really all the components of prayer are found in this Lord's Prayer. It's a tremendous prayer. And He goes, "This then is how you should pray." Verse 9, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then today we begin, "Give us today our daily bread." Now, spiritual formation in the time of Jesus was shaped by this sacred rhythm of pausing three times a day for prayer. And we call it the daily office. They fixed hour prayer. They would morning, midday, and evening. Jews had prayers. They would pray. And so they didn't measure time by the clock, as we do. Oh, it's 12 o'clock or it's 3 o'clock. I mean, they had clocks, but they measured time. Their life was more shaped by this idea of rhythms and sacred rhythms, God's rhythms, and prayer of a daily rhythm of prayer. Morning I pray, midday I pray, evening I pray. And then they had the idea of weekly rhythms of I work 6 days, I Sabbath for one. And then yearly rhythms. They had the three great festivals that they would go up to Jerusalem for. And so the early church has picked that up, and we have our great festivals of Lent, which we're in right now, and Easter, and then also Advent and Christmas. And so the simplest and easiest way to really, in a sense, set apart your whole day to God is to stop and to pause a few times a day to pray. And if you say, "I don't know what to do," well, the Lord's Prayer is enough, because it'll take you a few minutes to actually pray this thoughtfully. And not just say the words, babbling, but actually with meaning to pray it back to God. You know, it'll take you 3 to 4 minutes or 5 minutes to actually pray the Lord's Prayer. So we've been taking it apart piece by piece. And actually for me, it's been a phenomenal series, a wonderful series. And I hope it's been for you as well. And so, you know, in the midst of our busy world, to pause 3 times a day for prayer and to work our days around morning, midday, and evening is almost like an act of protest. An act of rebellion in our culture, saying that this, you know, busyness and productivity and worldly success is not what life is all about. Our lives are all about the living God. And there is no one or nothing more important than God. And so I pause in the morning and midday and evening, and I'm with God, to be with Him, to center my day so that when I'm active the rest of the day, I'm aware and conscious of His presence. And so again, this is a great tool and has been used for centuries as one aspect of stopping and pausing to be with God during the day. So we began by our first message on hour. Just so you know, that will go down in history. A message on hour for me, you know. And we talked about just saying hour and the Our Father is an act of generosity. It's basically acknowledging that I am part of a worldwide body of believers. And so I say just, "Lord, bless your church around the world." Hour. And then, "Father in the heavens." And behind the word Father is that our God is not like any earthly father, but Jesus comes and reveals Yahweh is Abba. He's that close to us. He's not just the almighty, infinite, almighty God. He is close to us. He comes to us as a father who runs to us and grabs you and holds you and loves you and hugs you. And not for who you are or what you've done, not for what you've done, but for simply for who you are. And we are to simply receive that, our Father in the heavens. And just, you know, just be still. Let that sink in for a minute. Before you go anywhere in prayer, like our Abba in the heavens. And just remember, oh, Lord, and just experience a bit of that. Then we begin with the three great petitions. The hallowed be your name. And, you know, again, first in me, Lord, your name, the name that Jesus has come to reveal is God as Abba, that others might experience you as Abba and trust you with their lives. They wouldn't be anxious and fearful that you're indifferent or angry and have an image of you that's all wrong, but they might truly know you as the true God who's revealed himself as Abba in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's lived and died on our behalf. And so we pray that. And then we pray, God, your name, your king, your, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Again, first in me, and then in all those around me, you know, in the world, my family, my friends, my neighborhood, our city of New York, the United States, you know, the world. May your rule and reign come, O God. And how you're, remember we talked about how the kingdom's an upside down kingdom and it's often hidden and it's slow and we don't often discern it. But God, may your true kingdom come. Not my kingdom, not my name, but your name and your kingdom. And then God, not, we don't want my name, I don't want my kingdom, and I don't want my will. I want your name, your kingdom, and your will to be done, Lord. And may your will be done first in me. And I, every time I pray this, whether it's midday or evening, I'm saying, God, whatever I've gotten, I'm going to dinner now with my kids and my wife. Lord, may I do your will at that dinner table. May the words that come out of my mouth, may my behavior be your will now. So that's why it's a tremendous prayer to pray throughout the day, because it centers you on God's will as you go to work, you know, second half of the day or whatever it might be. And God, give me the courage to do your will and not be afraid. And help me not be anxious that what appears to be so bad sometimes really is good. And what appears to be good sometimes is really bad. But Lord, I want your will, because I can't see the big picture, but you can. And so let's pray that together. So let's do this. Since this is an Our Father, right? It's a corporate prayer that we're meant to pray together. If you don't mind, grab the hand of somebody next to you, and all right? And if there's nobody there, just grab the invisible hand next to you. Make believe there's somebody there. And come on, you can do it. We can, you know, we can wash our hands later, okay? And so, you know, let's do the, you know, the traditional wording, because there's so many different wordings for the Lord's Prayer. You know, our Father, you know, who art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name. So how about if I will lead us, and we'll just go a little bit slowly, okay, through it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now for today, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Okay, we'll stop right there. Thank you. Well done, everybody. Now, you'll notice that in this, if you look at the text in Matthew 6, you know, it's begun with you, you know, your name, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom, thy will, and now it's going to move to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins next week, as we forgive those who sin against us, you know, and lead us. So it's all, now the pronoun shifts. Now the problem is most of us, we start praying. We come to God. We start with us. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. And if anything, this prayer teaches that we come with a different beginning. We come centered on God, our Father who art in heaven, you know, and so it's a very still contemplative beginning, really. And that it's all about God's name, God's will, God's kingdom to come. But the beautiful thing is, even though we often race to give us this day our daily bread, Jesus, the one who loves us so much, you are so important that he wants you to ask, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Your needs are really important, and he loves you more than you could ever imagine. So our theme here is now, give us this day our daily bread. Now, it's really, the word daily, there's been so much written about the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And I will not bore you with all the scholarly articles and commentaries and all that. But basically it means, oh, God, give me what I need for today, next 24 hours. You know, give us our daily bread, okay, what I need to survive. Now, it's a very simple prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. But yet, like each of the other petitions, it's so profound. It's so vast in meaning that we could do a whole series on give us this day our daily bread. So I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning. I'd like to lay out to you pretty briefly the five layers of meaning of when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. And just write them down somewhere. And God will lead you to pray with these different emphases along the way. But then I want us to do an exercise, which I think will cut through all five of these and gets to the heart of what this is saying. But we have to do an experience together. So this morning is going to be a little bit different for all of you. So hold on. It's going to be okay. All right, it's going to all come around and make some sense by the time it's over. But let's just begin by me breaking apart the five layers. When we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It's referring, the first layer of meaning is simply food. Food in general, bread. And Jesus understands that God made us physical beings and we need physical food to survive. And God supplies the needs of his children. And this really has taken off the 40 years in the wilderness in Exodus 16 when God began to provide manna in the wilderness one day at a time. He gave them enough bread for the day. That was it. And they lived like that for 40 years. The same concept that give us this day our daily bread. What, Lord, give me the food that I need to survive today, the bread. And by the fact that you're saying the word give, you're recognizing it is a gift of God. Do you understand? It's from his hand to my mouth. Very important. It's give to me. And if God doesn't give it, you don't have it. That's the point. And this strikes at the heart of where do you get your security from? Because most of us imagine we get our bread because we work, our own efforts. But it's interesting that Jesus takes, if anything so simple, I mean bread, I mean, if any area we think we're independent, I can get my own bread. Jesus teaches us about our dependence with the issue of bread, that even bread, the most basic of all foods, you're dependent on God. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20, verse 7, that when you pray, give us this day our daily bread, what you're saying is, Lord, you are my source, and I am absolutely dependent on you, and I recognize it's from your hand to my mouth. That's how I live. And I'm depending on you not just for the week or for the year, and you may have a good retirement program set up. You may have some savings. You may have some good equity in your home, but you're saying, Lord, that is not my source of my security. You are. And as I eat this bread of today, I recognize it is from your hand. So when you say, give us this day our daily bread, it's a declaration of your dependence on God. All right? Then there's a second level is, you say, give us this day our daily bread. You're also praying everything necessary for us to survive on earth. And now that's everything from, housing to clothing to your health to your job, if you have a job, to the fact that the government is not, we're not in wartime. There's peace, there's some kind of order in the economy, and I'm giving God thanks for all these things necessary for me even to be alive right now. So I say, give us this day our daily bread. Thank you, Lord, that all I've got that's, for life, shelter, it all comes from God. It's not from the United States government first. It's not from the economy doing pretty well right now. It is from even my health that I've taken care of myself and exercised. It is from the hand of God. Thank you, God. Give us this day our daily bread. Third level of meaning is give us this day our daily bread refers to scriptural bread, okay, scripture, and everything we need to lead a kingdom life. You see, look, what are you doing here today? How'd you end up here today? I mean, you're here somehow because God gave you enough spiritual food to get you in this room. I mean, maybe your spouse put a gun to your head, or maybe you're here on a date, and you're here for your date, Well, but somehow God used that too to get you here. When you say, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying for God, everything I need to sustain me in my earthly pilgrimage with you, give me this day. Give me Jesus said, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So give me, Lord, the truth I need from Scripture. Lord, give me the strength I need. The wisdom I need, the courage I need to follow you, the Holy Spirit's power I need, the fellowship I need. I mean, we can go on and on. But whatever I need spiritually to even do your will today, because I can't do your will unless you give me the bread I need. So it's very humble. Think, I'm here. I'm a Christian. No. Having my devotions. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, Give me this day my daily bread. I need you, Lord. You're my source. I don't trust in horses, chariots, or anything but you and you alone. Give to me, Lord, everything I need to live a kingdom life today. Very humble, very dependent. Well, then really, Scripture refers to Jesus is the bread of life. So, Lord, give me this day our daily bread is Jesus himself. Jesus, give me you. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I mean, what a bold claim. Many scholars have said, never. I mean, that is the boldest statement in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am the bread. And he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So apart from Jesus, I can't follow Jesus. Apart from Jesus, I can't love Jesus. Apart from Jesus, I can't worship. I can't be a person who abides in Jesus. That, again, you're here today. Any element of growth you've gotten in your spiritual maturity is because of Jesus inside of you. And unless you eat and drink of him, you have no future. And so a true disciple eats and drinks of Jesus. He is not fast food. He is not a bread of life. He is the bread of life. We don't come to Jesus as someone who inspires me to live a better life. He's not like, oh, these are some suggestions for consideration. We don't dabble in the bread of life. As Jesus, we are called to eat and chew and swallow Jesus. Give me this day our daily bread. I need you, Jesus, to live for you, or I can't live for you. And I'm that dependent. That's why the Lord's Supper is more than symbolic. It's something of like, I want your life inside of me, that not be my life, but your life through me. It's an incredible I in you and you in me, and very bold. So that's another dependent, another layer of meaning around, give us this day our daily bread. But there's one more. And the fifth layer, and you probably could add a couple more after this, but these are, I think, the primary ones. Give us this day our daily bread. We're aware of also of the millions of people without bread on the earth. There's a sense, this is a plural prayer. It's give our daily bread. It's not just my daily bread. And so it's meant to help us remember this prayer, the poor of the earth. Now, there may be a few people here who don't have food. And we feed people without food every week. But we are meant in this prayer also to lift up our eyes to the world. And for us, that requires a lifestyle shift. And it means, yes, concern about the 1 billion people undernourished on the earth. I am concerned for the 1 billion people who live in city slums, and that number is growing around the world. I am concerned, we are concerned about the 1 billion people living on less than $2 a day. And so we care about that. And so we say, give us this day our daily bread. We're also aware of the millions without bread. And so we adjust ourselves a little bit for that. So give us this day our daily bread. There's a lot to it. And as you pray that, God will lead you perhaps at different seasons of your life or even in the same day to maybe different focuses for that day of give us this day our daily bread. But I want to do an exercise with you this morning because I think it'll help. And really, it's an experience because I can tell you about the experience, but unless I give it to you, you may never have it. And it's meant to help you grasp how truly dependent you are and I am on God and other people. And so, and that our security really does come from him. So it's very easy to overlook this in all these five layers because, you know, let's face it, our bread's coming to us all the time. It's just, I mean, bread's coming. It's there. We just take it for granted. I mean, it's at our fingertips. But the word give, again, give us this day our daily bread. Give. It recognizes this is a gift from Almighty God. And if God did not give it to me, I would not have it. So the question is, and I know a few of us had some experiences, and some people told me at the first service, I remember what it was like to be hungry, and I actually had a piece of bread, and what that meant when I was starving. But we rarely are in those situations. So I think my hope is that this will help you grasp it better, because for most of us, every time we taste bread, we can't, or every time we pray this petition, give us this day our daily bread, we almost immediately have to follow it by saying, "Thank you very much, O God." In other words, for us to pray it in the West, it's "Give us this day our daily bread," and then it's "Thank you very much, O God." So what we've done this morning is we're handling answered prayer every time we touch bread for us. So we've done something today. I want you to pull out on your first, these rows here, there's a basket. I want you to pull out the baskets in the rows there. Look under your seats. If you're on the end of a row, on the balcony, the first floor, and I want you to, there's this bread there, and I want you to take a piece of the bread and pass it down. Okay? Do you all see it up there? Okay, so start distributing, and there's a napkin on the top, and what you'll do is, with a napkin, not your hand, all right, we want you to take your piece of bread. Do not eat the piece of bread yet. Just hold on to it on your lap, all right? We all got that? Okay. Good. Now, the great challenge as the bread is going around is this. We are very busy. And our lives are generally on the run. Most of you, like myself, when you're eating, you're doing something else. You're watching TV. You're in intense conversation. It's a power lunch. You know, you're writing something. You're praying, you know, about something else. We're multitasking all the time. And so it's very difficult to pause and actually be present with this food given to us by God. And our tendency as a culture is to be envious of other people. We're saying, "Well, I got bread. This guy's eating shrimp and lobster. If I had more money, I wouldn't be eating just bread. I'd be at a better restaurant." And, you know, and so we're always looking at people with more money, better jobs, you know, and it's just so easy to be a grumbler. Like, some of you are great grumblers. You're PhDs in grumbling and disappointed all the time. And so we're much in a situation like when Moses said to the people of Israel, after 40 years of eating manna one day at a time, they're about to go into the promised land where they have abundant bread, abundant food. And so Moses gave this warning to them. He says, "Listen," and we're in the same situation here. He says, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, and we have lots to eat, we can go in a grocery store, tremendous amounts of food, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." Isn't it true? Things get good. Who needs them? I'm doing fine. "Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.'" Isn't it true? Is this one of the reasons that the church in the West is so weak, while in the developing world it's so strong and vibrant? "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth." But to maintain that perspective around great abundance is quite difficult, isn't it? It's incredibly difficult to say, "Give us this day our daily bread," when I got 50 types of coffee to choose from when I go to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and such variety of foods. And so even the hardest working person among us, who has maybe the best job, has to recognize that all that I have, whether it's my education or the opportunities or the doors open, the country I live in, the field God led me into, all I've got, it's been a gift. The talents I've got, my brain is still working. It's all been from God. And it'll give us this day our daily bread. So we're going to do a prayerful meditation around this bread in front of you. All right. Now here's the, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's the petition, right? But here's a prayerful way to pray it back to God. "Oh God, thank you for the earth, the sky, and the hard work of many people that enables me to enjoy the gift of this bread." Now, look at your bread for a minute. Do not eat your bread. Now, if you're hungry, hold off on the bread, all right? Take this bread in your hands right now for a few moments. Look at it, okay? What is it about the earth, the sky, and the hard work of many people that has caused this food right now to be in your hand? That's the question. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. And I want you to think of the elements of earth and the elements of sky that went into making this bread. Then I want you to think of the hard work. Who were the people that were involved in getting this bread to your hand? And I want you to thank God for each element or person or you can imagine that you're thinking of before God. All right, can you do that? All right, I will say no more. You have 3 minutes. I will watch the time. Don't worry. It is a prayerful, give us this day our daily bread. Don't eat yet. I remember Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. Remember? He said, see the lilies. Consider the birds of the air. How much your Father takes care of them. So, again, oh God, thank you for the earth, the sky, and the hard work of many people that enables me to enjoy the gift of this bread. So, think with me for a minute. I mean, God led someone to prepare the soil. And somebody planted the seeds in the ground and carried the anxiety of that seed growing and fertilized it and made sure there was irrigation. Of course, God provided the climate, right? The sun, the weather had to be right or else the crop would have been ruined. And then someone harvested that grain. It's wheat for bread. Someone took those wheat kernels that got harvested and brought it to a mill where it was ground into flour. And then from that mill, some driver, it got transported. Now, I know my father was a baker for 54 years. So I know it was brought to a distributor first. Then it came to the bakery in Corona on 104th Street, Nick's Bakery. The flour arrived at Nick's. Some driver dropped it off. Somebody unloaded it into the bakery. They have their bread recipe. They mixed it then with a variety of ingredients. And interesting, you know, that grain probably came from somewhere in the Midwest. Here it is in Corona. Last night, we know somewhere it's between, you know, 11 p.m. and 6 a.m., they baked this bread in Corona. And they, you know, the bread rose, right? They had it and put it in the oven and took it out and watched over it, put it in bags. Drew went and picked it up this morning. And he brought it to Elmhurst. And gave it to Fatima, who then put it in baskets nicely under the chairs and was distributed to each of us. And here we are today. And so as you take this bread in your hands, there was a lot of earth. And I could just, you know, I mean, I had a long list of everything else, machines and oil running the machines. I went crazy, you know. And Jerry said, stop, you know. You're ruining it. So, but you get the point. But now as you look at this bread, now look at it. Now my father, again, as a baker, I mean, he used to say, hey, Pete, you know, we bakers run the world. People don't know how dependent bakers, I mean, without bread, everybody be dead, you know, they don't appreciate us. And so, you know, if you have, you know, you don't mind, I mean, you open it up, it's a pretty decent role. I mean, as a baker's son, it's a decent role. It's pretty good. And, you know, God has given us senses for pleasure. I mean, God gave us 5 senses, right? And you can use all of them except for hearing, obviously, in this one. But why did God give us senses? He gave us senses to delight in his creation. He could have created us without senses. So really, actually, give us this day our daily bread. And enjoying this piece of bread is actually a mini Sabbath. So I want you to engage your senses as well. So I'm going to give you now another 4 to 5 minutes. And I want you to look at it, first of all. Just let your eyes, if God has given you sight, we have one or two people here who are blind legally, you know, and you don't realize what you have until you lose it. You all know that, right? You don't realize whether it's your toes or your sight or your ability to, you know, urinate. I mean, you don't realize until you lose one of your bodily functions or mental capacities, you do not really appreciate it. But just look at the colors, you know, and the, you know, white and a little brownish, you know, and if you open it up, you know, and then you feel it with your, you know, just feel it and the different textures of the hardness of the outside of it and then inside of it. It feels kind of, you know. Someone said to me, complain, why wasn't it warm? Oh, sorry, you know. We didn't have the big ovens ready for you, you know. A little cold on the inside, but it's nice and soft, you know. It rose well. And then, I don't, you know, smell it. You know, it's got a certain, you know, that smell. Depending on how hungry you are is how good it smells right now. Like, wow, it smells good. You're like, say, let me eat. You know? Okay. And then I'm going to invite you, as I'm going to give you, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, to take small bites. And eat, you know, eat the whole thing. I mean, as much, you know, but because we tend to take big bites of our food and just shove it down. We don't really taste it. Now, remember, the fact that God has given you taste buds, and really, you think about all the foods that come into our palates, but I want you to taste this bread, really taste it, and thanking God for having given this to you. And eat it slowly, okay? And the gift of chewing. I mean, you know, if you can chew, again, someday you will not be able to chew. Do you realize that? And you will die. I mean, but you can chew right now. And your taste buds probably are working for most of us in this room. And then be mindful of the fact that this bread is actually nourishing your physical body, which God gave you. Now, again, some of you may be allergic to gluten and may not be able to eat it. So, you know, you can do everything else. But, you know, so as we take this 4 to 5 minutes, I'm inviting you, again, back to this prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the earth, the sky, and the hard work of many people that enables me to enjoy the gift of this food. So I've thrown a few more details out to you, but I want you now to include your 4 sentences, okay, and in the process of then letting your body be nourished, okay? So I know this is hard. I mean, this is like, wow, this is really weird. I know, it's a new discipline. It's actually stopping long enough to truly be grateful and say, thank you, God, for this gift of bread here. Okay, so again, I will watch the clock. If you get distracted, you know, you can reread that prayer or just close your eyes, you know, and just be present with God. All right, now we've done silence for 5 minutes before over just be still before the Lord, you know. So hang in there. It's okay. It's a great opportunity, and I'll watch the clock. Okay, so let's begin. To enjoy the gift of this bread. I guess I want to challenge you as an assignment, you know, this week, even for lunch, look at your food, the colors, the variety. Again, I mean, New York City, we've got tremendous ethnic food here from all over the world. Such rich taste and variety. I mean, it's amazing what we have access to here in the city of New York, in Queens especially, and whether it's a sandwich or vegetables or meat or fruit, strawberries. And you know, you may want to just even take 2 to 3 minutes and be silent. Don't even talk over the food. Just try it a couple times. Being quiet purposefully and not talking as you eat your food. And just aware and alive and grateful. Oh God, you are good and your love endures forever. You know, it's very interesting that Jesus, at the feeding of the 5,000, it says he took the 5 loaves and the fish, and it says he gave thanks. And then he broke it and did the miracle. But he first, here is Jesus, the bread of life, the creator of the universe, he gives thanks to the Father for that bread. And the same thing at the feeding of the 4,000. He takes the loaves, 7 loaves, and it says he gives thanks and lifts his eyes to heaven and gives thanks. Doesn't even let it touch his mouth before he gives thanks. Ponders the great gift, give me this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And then even at the Lord's Supper, in all the accounts in the Gospels, he takes the bread, he gives thanks. Then he breaks it and he distributes it. So clearly a theme in the life of Jesus was this deep sense of having received a gift from the Father and of thankfulness. So I like to, you know, to me, the contrast verse, the two options of give us this day our daily bread. The first is we can do it the way we've just talked about, you know, God, thank you, and really be present and aware of what's going on. Or the second is we buy into the culture, which is demanding, expects, races through life, unaware, asleep, shoves food down our throats, and doesn't really thank anybody. And really, it's Psalm 95, that famous psalm, which, just so you know, is sung every morning as part of morning prayer around the world. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert. It comes from Exodus. They were getting manna every day. but they just weren't grateful. They were complaining and grumbling. It's not enough. Isn't that part of our culture? Just grumbling and complaining all the time. And the Lord says, today, if you hear his voice. And for me, this is a great challenge. Pete, do not harden your heart. As my gifts are coming out to you day and night, that you'd live a life of, give us this day our daily bread. Truly a life of gratitude. And so I want to invite the worship team to come on forward. And I'd like us to pray and really ask God to do a work in us. I mean, this is, I hope you enjoyed that little exercise. I was really afraid to do it first, sir. I was like, oh, this could be a disaster. But no, I knew from... But I knew coming at the second that we were okay, you know, they did fine. But do you realize that perhaps never in our lives would we have a chance for that discipline of taking 5 minutes? Really, you took almost 8 minutes around a piece of food today. But I want to encourage you to try it this week around your food. And you will have some much richer foods in front of you than a piece of bread from Nick's Bakery on 104th Street. But God bless Nick. You did a good job. I think you did a good job. All right, so let's pray together. So, Father, we live in a world which ignores you and has hardened her heart as gifts from heaven come pouring out. And so, Lord, we too are caught up in that. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us. We ask you, Lord, to help us, that we would hear your voice. Every time a piece of bread comes our way, every gift from heaven that comes our way through earth and sky and through the hard work of many people. Lord, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the hard work of many people. I think, Lord, of the people who built this building in 1921 and 1922, who were up on scaffolds and ladders for a couple of years, and here we are enjoying the warmth of this building. What a gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. So God, transform our hearts that, Lord Jesus, we might be like you, filled with gratitude. And as John Calvin wrote, Lord, that we might be filled with contentment. That might be who we are, truly content, because you are good and your love endures forever. And we do not have to be like the pagans, running after food and drink, because you, our good Heavenly Father, will take care of us. Reduce our anxieties, Lord. Melt them. Help us trust you. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just stay in an attitude of just prayer and let William and the worship team just lead us through the song once. If you'd like to stand, you can stand. And then let's join in. But let it just wash over you first and then join in the song. As we close here, you may not want to rush out, and I want to invite you to stay. The worship team will stay and lead us in worship, and we're going to close and be dismissed, but you may want to just take a few minutes here, okay? We're going to have some prayer teams over to your left, and I want to invite you to come for prayer, and you may need to prepare for a hard heart, that God may melt your heart and make it soft, but a beautiful thing is God's concerned about every detail of your life, and so the lovely thing is, whatever you need prayer for, ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be open. God actually cares and encourages you to say, Lord, give me. There's a place to say, give me, Lord, I need. So that those prayer teams are available and want to invite you to come. And the Lord's table's up here as well, to come and take that bread and partake of the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Christ, and eat and drink of him as you leave. Let's try to keep it quiet in here, could we? And so it's holy ground, and let's just enjoy him and be thankful for him and let God do his deep work in our hearts and really mature us, really grow us up, make us children blameless in a crooked and perverse generation. Peter gave me a verse from Philippians 2 that's complaining and grumbling. May we shine as stars of light in the midst of a complaining and grumbling world, because we know what it is to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. It really has some punch to it and some meaning. All right, so let's pray as we are dismissed. So, Lord, as those folks come forward for prayer, may you touch lives and minister and take hard hearts and make them soft. And grant to your children, O Lord, what they need, the bread needed to follow you, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And Lord, you see us, Lord, we're surrounded by a culture that is so far from this. So Father, we ask you to slow us down. Teach us, Lord, to be still. Teach us to be thankful, Lord. Teach us to be present with you. To engage you, Lord, and let you engage us by the Holy Spirit. That we might not eat bread the same this week. Train us, equip us, Father, I pray. That we really would be like King David, saying, the Lord is good, his love endures forever. Your love endures forever. So I speak a blessing on all of you as you go forth. May the Holy Spirit's power rest upon you and fill you that you might be able to follow Jesus. In his name, amen.